Welcome back to A Year of War and Peace, the podcast where we go from War and Peace Zero to War and Peace Hero in 1 year flat. I'm going to speak up a little bit actually because it's raining, which means background noise, which means I need to speak loudly. We're up to book 15, chapter 7. When the troops reached their night's halting place on the 8th of November, the last day of the Krasnoye battles, it was already growing dusk. All day it had been calm and frosty with occasional lightly falling snow, and towards evening it began to clear. Through the falling snow a purple, black and starry sky showed itself and the frost grew keener. An infantry regiment which had left Tarutino, 3,000 strong, but now numbered only 900, was one of the first to arrive at its halting place that night, a village on the high road. The quartermasters who met the regiment announced that all the huts were full of sick and dead Frenchmen, cavalrymen, and members of the staff. There was only one hut available for the regimental commander. The commander rode up to his hut. The regiment passed through the village and stacked its arms in front of the last huts. Like some huge, many-limbed animal, the regiment began to prepare its lair and its food. One part of it dispersed and waded knee-deep through the snow into a birch forest to the right of the village. And immediately the sound of axes and swords, the crashing of branches, and merry voices could be heard from there. Another section amid the regimental wagons and horses, which were standing in a group, was busy getting out cauldrons and rye biscuit, and feeding the horses. A third section scattered through the village, arranging quarters for the staff officers, carrying out the French corps that were in huts, and dragging away boards, dry wood, and thatch from the roofs of the camp fires, or wattle fences to serve for shelter. Some 15 men with merry shouts were shaking down the high wattle wall of the shed, the roof of which was already being removed. "Now then, all together, shove!" cried the voices, and the huge surface of the wall, sprinkled with snow and creaking with frost, was seen swaying in the gloom of the night. The lower stakes cracked more and more, and at last the wall fell, and with it the men who had been pushing it. Loud and coarse laughter and joyous shouts ensued. "Now then, catch hold in twos. Hand up the lever. That's it. What are you shoving to? Now all together, but wait a moment, boys, with a song." All stood silent, and a soft, pleasant, velvety voice began to sing. At the end of the third verse, as the last note died away, 20 voices roared out at once, "Ooh, ooh, ooh." "That's it, all together, heave away, boys." But despite their united efforts, the wattle hardly moved, and in the silence that followed, the heavy breathing of the men was audible. "Here you are, you of the 6th Company. Devils that you are, lend a hand, will you? You may want us one of these days." Some 20 men of the 6th Company, who were on their way into the village, joined the haulers, and the wattle wall, which was about 35 feet long and 7 feet high, moved forward along the village street, swaying, pressing upon and cutting the shoulders of the gasping men. "Get along. Falling? What are you stopping for? There now." Merry, senseless words of abuse flowed freely. "What are you up to?" suddenly came the authoritative voice of Sergeant Major, who came upon the men who were hauling their burden. "There are gentry here. The general himself is in that hut, and you foul-mouthed devils, you brutes, I'll give it to you," shouted he, hitting the first man who came in his way a swinging blow on the back. "Can't you make less noise?" The men became silent. The soldier who had been struck groaned and wiped his face, which had been scratched till it bled by his falling against the wattle. "There, how the devil hits out! He's made my face all bloody," said he in a frightened whisper, when the sergeant major had passed on. "Don't you like it?" said a laughing voice, and Mode, rating their tones, the men moved forwards. When they were out of the village, they began talking again as loud as before, interlarding their talk with the same aimless expletives. In the hut which the men had passed, the chief officers had gathered and were in animated talk over their tea about the events of the day and the manoeuvres suggested for tomorrow. It was proposed to make a flank march to the left, cut off the vice-king, Murat, and capture him. By the time the soldiers had dragged the wattle fence to its place, the camp fires were blazing on all sides, ready for cooking. The wood crackled, the snow was melting, and black shadows of soldiers flitted to and fro all over the occupied space where the snow had been trodden down. Axes and choppers were plied all around. Everything was done without any orders being given. Stores of wood were brought for the night. Shelters were rigged up for the officers. Cauldrons were being boiled, and muskets and accoutrements put in order. The wattle wall the men had brought was set up in a semicircle by the 8th Company as a shelter from the north, propped up by musket rests, and a campfire was built up before it. They beat the tattoo, called the roll, had supper, and settled down round the fires for the night, some repairing their footgear, some smoking pipes, and some stripping themselves naked to steam the lice out of their shirts. Alright, there we go, another chapter down. And, not a very eventful one, but we did find out that the Russian army's troops are dwindling pretty rapidly. Turtle Vader said, does the loss of the Russian army's troops surprise you, going from 3,000 down to 900? Yeah, it does, a little bit. That's, it's pretty... I don't know, it's always kind of understated the way that Tolstoy lets you know about these huge, devastating losses, where he just minimizes it to a sentence about numbers. It's kind of strange, isn't it? Like, you don't feel anything thinking they went from 3,000 down to 900. It's so impersonal. Turtle Vader also said, what do you make of the sergeant chastising the loud soldiers so harshly? Well, yeah, I don't know, actually. I don't know why that happened. We don't know who that general was. We just know that they, they don't like the foul language that these soldiers are using. I think he hits one of them, punches one of them. I have this suspicion that we know that general, the sergeant, that was all angry. But Tolstoy is on purpose, he's not saying the name of the sergeant. I even wonder if it might have been Denisov. But, I reckon we'll find out. I reckon we'll find out who that was. De Fleury said, I love the opening of this chapter. I can feel the weather and the sky opening up. I love our little senses of domestic bliss. It does seem suspicious that they sing jolly songs after two-thirds of them have died of I don't know what. Tolstoy has an idealistic vision of the happy peasants. I, too, want to know who says, let's camp here, 50 feet away from this perfectly good empty house. I think they were using swords to chop tree branches for the fire. Huh. Everyone I know who has a sword gets all upset if you do anything that might damage it. I'm pretty sure the surviving Russians are roasting marshmallows on the end of theirs, and the edge looks like my lawnmower blade. Well, that's a nice little insight. I don't think I know anyone who owns a sword, but I would assume chopping branches with a sword is a bad move. Is funny, isn't it? Two-thirds of them have died, and they're singing these jolly songs. Something almost surreal about the way Tolstoy describes war in that way. It almost makes it a little bit more sinister, right? Obi-Wan Spicoli said, I have never in my life heard this other definition of tattoo. I was confused. And Obi-Wan Spicoli has linked to a dictionary.com definition of tattoo that says, a signal on a drum, bugle, or trumpet at night for soldiers or sailors to go to their quarters. There you go. Well, I knew they weren't referring to like a tattoo on your skin. And I'd heard of the word tattoo as like a drumming thing or like a rhythmic thing. But that one that you've linked, that was new to me as well. So thank you very much, Obi-Wan Spicoli, for linking us that. All right. I'm going to wrap it up for tonight. Thank you very much for listening. See you tomorrow.